Let's be honest. Buying cannabis shouldn't be complicated, sketchy, or low quality. That's why I want to tell you about Mood.com. That's Mood.com. Mood ships federally legal cannabis straight to your door. No medical card, no hassle. And here's the kicker. The quality is better than anything you'll find at your local dispensary. Yeah, I said it. Whether you're into edibles, concentrates, flower, or just looking to explore, you'll find it all at Mood. And it's not just the variety that makes them stand out. Every product is sourced from small, American-owned family farms that care deeply about what they grow. It's cannabis you can trust, delivered discreetly, and ready to elevate your mood. And because you're a listener, you get 20% off your first order. Just head to Mood.com. That's Mood.com to get started.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. You're listening to Cluck, the podcast where Ted Cluck and Josh Loftus talk about the things that make them happy. Because we can. Let's do it. Ted, my man, it is good to see you. Welcome to the program once again. I feel like I've attended a funeral.
Yeah.
And it's boxing that has died.
Yeah. I know.
I have mixed emotions this morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
As I know you probably do. For those that maybe don't know what Ted and I are talking about, there was a fight last night, if that's what you want to call it, produced by Netflix, mm-hmm. And the fighters, again, if that's what you want to call them, were Jake Paul, the infamous, and Anthony Joshua, who is actually a real fighter, who is a real boxer and actually quite good at his craft, and we watched the fight last night. Thankfully, didn't have to pay for it because it was on Netflix, which I do appreciate Netflix getting into the boxing game. That's cool.
Yeah.
Ted, I left that fight feeling pretty gross.
Yeah.
As a lifelong boxing fan. A believer in the purity of the sport. Even though it resulted in what I wanted, I did not feel satisfied at the end.
And we will
get into that, but I'd like to throw it over to you first, Ed. You and I were watching the same fight. Let me ask you this. Did you make it all the way through all six rounds?
Yeah, I did. I had a buddy over, and at that point I was just kind of morbidly curious, but I was, like everyone, I think, wildly disappointed with the product. You know, I texted a few people, maybe I texted you this, like, it felt like at all levels like the Temu version of a fight night, you know what I mean? Like the arena's a little off, the ring's a little off, the prelim fights were no good. You know, the Anderson Silva fight was a joke. The girl fight, I think, was good. I didn't watch it, but, you know, we always have a cigar during the girl fight. But yeah, I it was so bad, Josh. In the main event, you know, you get done watching it and you don't feel good. And I think that's the thing that I pinpointed last night. You know, I always go to these Jake Paul, you know, I watch these Jake Paul fights because I'm curious and because it's boxing that's on TV, which doesn't happen all the time, right? So you want to see a fight card, but then I'm always left with the feeling that I shouldn't have watched. It was bad for the sport. Whereas, I don't know, Maxim and I rewatched Teofimo Lopez versus George Kambosos from like 2021. Which was an unbelievable fight, dude. And you get to the end of that fight where Kambosos is this heavy underdog. It was supposed to be a tune-up fight for Teofimo Lopez on his home turf. Kambosos just put together a masterpiece, dude. Cut Lopez over both eyes, and it was an unbelievable like distance fight. And I'm just like, that made me feel awesome. You know, that makes you feel like you want to go to the gym. And last night's fight card, it just makes you feel like you've wasted an evening, you know. And I didn't waste it because my buddy was there, Maxim was there, we had a good time. But that I think is the difference. And I think as a sport, we need to stop doing this. You know, I don't know what the answer is, because the problem, Josh, is that everybody wants to fight Jake Paul because there's a huge payday attached to it.
For sure.
You know, you can get a huge bag and you don't have to worry about getting hurt. So I don't blame the fighters for doing it. I don't blame Anthony Joshua for doing it. Mm-hmm. At no moment in that fight was he afraid of Jake Paul or getting hit by Jake Paul,
right,
who wasn't throwing punches. You know, neither of them were throwing any punches. So it was very odd and very bad. I could say more, but I want to take a break and give you a chance to talk a little bit.
Yeah, no, I agree with your sentiments. I went into the fight very pessimistic, as I do with all Jake Paul fights, right? And you and I have talked about the issues that I have with Paul, and that we both have with Paul ad nauseum on this, and some of that might come up in this, it might not. But I think I texted you that like I have always been on the side that all of Jake Paul's fights have been rigged from the beginning. That they have been. It's like it's akin to his brother in WWE, right? Sure. They might be throwing semi-real punches, but the outcome is determined, right?
We
know who's walking out with the belt in pro wrestling.
Yeah,
I was of the belief that it was the same with Jake Paul fights, and I texted you. I texted a couple buddies.
Mm-hmm.
I said, if Anthony Joshua does not walk out of that ring with his hands up by the end of round two, then all of my suspicions are confirmed.
Yeah.
Because out of all of the fighters that Jake Paul has fought up to this point, Anthony Joshua is the realest of all of them.
Well, absolutely, yeah.
He's in his prime.
Yeah.
He's talent-wise, indisputable.
Yeah,
Olympic champion boxer.
Yeah, I mean, definitionally world-class, you know. Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
What I watched last night confused the heck out of me.
Go on.
One, because a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even going to get to the outcome of the fight yet.
Yeah.
We saw, even though I believe there was so much of that was curated, we did see what happens when a wannabe boxer comes up against a real one. They couldn't help it.
Yeah.
The levels of skill are so different
between
Paul
and
Anthony. You could not help but see what happened. It would be as if I walked into the ring with Anthony Joshua. It would be the exact same thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Jake Paul could not stay off his knees.
Yeah.
It looked like a wrestling match. Like every time Anthony Joshua threw a jab, Jake Paul's flying across the ring.
Yeah.
Okay. You saw the difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And yet, we did not see the outcome that difference should result in until round six.
Yeah.
When Anthony Joshua finally put Jake Paul away.
Yeah.
Broke his jaw. I don't know if the pictures that came out.
Yeah.
Jake Paul's jaw is broken in two different places.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
This is where I'm confused, and this is where I'm not sure, Ted.
Yeah.
Is I don't think Jake Paul's pride would allow him to have that fight result in that way and get his jaw broken.
Uh-huh.
So now I'm back to square one, whether or not this fight was real. I don't know if because I mean this is the first one I think with them that Netflix picked up.
Yeah.
Or was the Tyson one with
Tyson
Netflix?
Was Netflix.
Tyson was Netflix. Netflix. I don't know if Netflix is trying to add some like legitimacy to it. Like, hey, now that we're taking this, you can't be fighting old men anymore. I don't know. But
yeah, I don't know either.
But I'm left. Either. I'm still left confused, Ted, because we saw what happens. We saw the fight skill levels very differently.
Yeah.
But yet it took him six rounds. But then finally, when he did do it, he did it harshly. He broke his jaw. So I'm left confused. Your thoughts on whether this was real, whether it was fake. I can't imagine Paul would go through getting his jaw broken for a bit.
See, I do think he would. I think that's consistent with almost everything he's ever done in his career. And I'll compare his career to someone else that you're familiar with, okay? And then we could talk about the implications of it. And then I have a few more thoughts on the fight itself that, that may shed light on your question. Do you remember an MTV show called Jackass?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
Johnny Knoxville. Yeah, Johnny Knoxville, very charismatic figure.
Sure.
Who would, I don't know, like ride his BMX bike off the top of a building and see what happens, you know? And, and it's like, oh, Johnny Knoxville, you know, was in a coma for 2 days and broke six ribs or whatever. But, and it was all in the name of entertainment, okay?
Yeah.
And his paydays were not as big as Jake Paul's, although they got increasingly bigger.
For sure.
And he was committing to these bits, you know, to the degree that they would often land him in the hospital. And, you know, his body would be broken, but the paydays got larger. And I think for Jake Paul, the intoxicant is eyeballs, right? The intoxicant is money, but it's also engagement. And that has become the thing that, you know, in this perverse like universe, boxing is providing for him. And so he's in this weird position of power where he can pick up the phone and get anybody in the boxing world to pick up because of the kind of paydays that he can command. But then you get what we got last night, which I'm still, Josh, more on the side of these are scripted sports entertainment bits. You know what I mean? Where the outcome is scripted and fairly predetermined. And hang on 1 second. I've got a coffee delivery. Yeah, thanks, man.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, so here's why I think that, okay? First of all, Jake Paul was not in shape.
No. Dude, that was one of the things that surprised me, Ted.
Yeah, it really surprised me, too.
How fat he was.
It wasn't even the physique for me. It was more like he's running around and not throwing punches, and after a minute and a half in the first round, he's exhausted.
Yeah,
he's huffing, he's puffing, he's falling down all the time, aforementioned. Neither guy was throwing any punches, you know, and it seemed to me like Joshua was waiting for a predetermined moment where he would let it rip and end it. And that predetermined moment was halfway through the sixth round where, you know, there was any number of moments in that fight where Anthony Joshua could have pinned Jake Paul along the ropes or in a corner and just finished him.
Right.
And in fact, any competent fighter would have. And as we've talked about, AJ is very competent. So, as you'll recall, Joshua was throwing these like he was kind of throwing these like fake punches just out into the air.
His jabs were confusing me, man. I mean that is a technique in boxing to gauge distance, right? Your jab,
it is
like your jab works to distract. It works if it makes contact. That's nice, but it also works to gauge distance for the right.
Yeah,
but that's not what he was doing. It was like there was no intention behind it.
It's almost like they didn't teach him how to act the part.
Yeah, they just like he's a bad athlete actor.
Dude, truly, like there was a bad director. They just gave him a script and they were like, "Go do this," and he's like, "Okay." And
it's like, I don't know how to fake this,
dude. Like, they honestly needed like the boxing coordinator from Creed to come in and like kind of teach him how to do it.
This is how you throw a fake punch.
And I'm not even joking. Like, honestly, if they're going to keep doing this, I think that's what they're going to need. They're going to need to make it look better because last night it looked bad. And so here's my other sort of argument for why I think it was a fix. And tell me if you noticed this. Mm-hmm. Jake Paul came out in a Hulk Hogan jacket.
Yep.
And the first like riff of his ring walk song was Hulk Hogan's ring walk song.
Yep.
And I'm like, this is a hat tip to this being sports entertainment. This is boxing's answer to pro wrestling. And here's what's weird though. And I do not have an answer for.
Okay.
What's weird to me, Josh, is that nobody in the traditional like national news media will use the F word, the fix word. Like nobody's talking about it. They're all talking about this like it's real. Right. And I don't know. I'm not the greatest boxing expert in the world, but like it sure looks off to me because here's a presupposition that every good boxing match has to have, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm boxing you and we're fairly evenly matched, or even if we're not, like the whole thing works on the idea that I'm going to try to knock you out and I'm going to try to land punches, but I'm also a little afraid of what you can do to me. And right. so that sort of governs the match. Yeah,
it's and a give and take.
It's a give and take. And so there was no reason for Anthony Joshua to not throw punches last night because he had nothing to be afraid of on the other end. And what Lance and I were saying, you know, my buddy and I, as we were watching, we were like, why isn't AJ just walking in and throwing punches? Like he doesn't even have to be afraid of what's coming back at him, you know? That was the part that didn't make any sense.
I mean, I think if like okay, so let's go with your theory, right? Okay. That it is sports entertainment. Yeah. It's the WWE with boxing gloves, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Then it would be like Anthony Joshua's job
mm-hmm.
to make Jake Paul look as good as he can.
That's right.
Because it's Jake Paul's show.
Yeah, that's right.
Like it or not, it's Jake Paul's show.
Yeah, right? That's right.
Mm-hmm. So his job would be to come into the ring,
mm-hmm.
give Paul some chances to land a few shots, last as long as he can, and then give it a poetic end. Because, I mean, anyone who, I don't think, like, I think, and this is the interesting thing, I think Paul might have made a mistake
uh-huh.
with Anthony Joshua.
Yeah.
Because he picked a fighter
mm-hmm.
that if he had beaten...
Mm-hmm.
Or if he had tied, if it was a draw, everyone would have known it was rigged.
Yes, that's right.
Everyone.
That's
right. There would be absolutely zero question because in no universe is Jake Paul walking into a ring, going 8 rounds with Anthony Joshua and coming out unknocked out.
Yeah.
And I think he made a mistake with this one because up to this point, it has been show, right? Let's get Tyson. Let's get Roy Jones Jr. Let's get these retired MMA fighters, right?
Yeah.
And let's put on a show for the people, right? And if that's, and here's the thing, you know what? Mm-hmm. Like Jake Paul, like he's brilliant at what he does. Like he knows the system. Mm-hmm. If he had come out from the beginning and said like this, like I'm putting on freak show fights. Like I'm putting on what's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of the word. But but basically just fights that are a spectacle.
Yes.
I would have embraced this so much more than I would have if he had continued to try to claim that it's real boxing. Right.
Well,
because we always have, you know, everyone has the debates like, well, who would win between, you know, Batman and Superman?
Right,
who would win between Muhammad Ali and Tyson? If he like created some sort of zeitgeist where those types of debates could actually happen. And he's like, hey, like we're going to see it's going to be fun entertainment.
Yeah,
that would be a completely different thing to me.
Yeah.
Than him still trying to claim that it is legitimate wrestling, or excuse me, legitimate, last night was wrestling, legitimate boxing.
Yeah.
And I think he made a mistake picking Anthony Joshua for this.
Yeah.
Because now, like, I mean, you picked a real fighter, dude. Like, are you going to, like, at what point are you going to keep trying? Like, are you going to go back to an old guy after this?
Yeah, he says he wants to move back down to cruiserweight and win a cruiserweight title, which he won't do. There are too many good fighters in that division. There are just too many good pro fighters, period. And he's
been
not that
Canelo's
good.
Canelo's name out.
Oh, yeah, that's ridiculous. Canelo would eat him alive. Again, if it were real, you know. So
if
these,
it were
these,
real.
Yeah, these
I
statements
thought,
are
I
all
thought
caveat.
Anthony Joshua was going to eat him alive. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and he should have, you know, and it should have been over in 2 minutes. But, you know, I think they had a script, they had an agreement, and, you know, they kind of stuck to it and delivered something. But if he's going to be in this business of like pro boxing's answer to pro wrestling, he has to make it look better. He himself has to get in better shape, right? I mean, it was it was unfathomable to me that in a minute and a half of not throwing punches, he was that tired. You know, that was bad. It just looked bad. And, you know, he's got to get better at this if this is what he wants to do. But I sincerely hope that's not what he wants to do, because I continue, Josh, to make the honorability argument with him. And in a way, like, Jake Paul is the perfect kind of Gen Z avatar, right? Where, like, you know, he wants a bunch of dollars. He wants a bunch of engagement. But there's no dignity along with it. He's the ultimate content machine. Last night was content. It was not boxing.
Sure. Let's be honest. Buying cannabis shouldn't be complicated, sketchy, or low quality. That's why I want to tell you about Mood.com. That's MOOD.com. Mood ships federally legal cannabis straight to your door. No medical card, no hassle. And here's the kicker. The quality is better than anything you'll find at your local dispensary. Yeah, I said it. Whether you're into edibles, concentrates, flower, or just looking to explore, you'll find it all at Mood. And it's not just the variety that makes them stand out. Every product is sourced from small, American-owned family farms that care deeply about what they grow. It's cannabis you can trust, delivered discreetly, and ready to elevate your mood. And because you're a listener, you get 20% off your first order. Just head to Mood.com. That's MOOD.com to get started.
Sure. And content lives... Sure. Content lives at the level of, like, you know, this is me eating 64 hot dogs in one sitting. Like, that's content, right?
Sure, but it, right. But it's exactly.
You know, you watch a 15-second clip of that, and then you scroll away from it, and you never think of it again. And that's the business that he's been in. However, here's the thing. When you're in a fight like the Kambosos-Lopez fight that I talked about before... Mm-hmm. I will remember Kambosos Lopez forever. Like, that was a great fight. It was so awesome, and it was so good, and it's just one of, like, dozens of fights that I'll remember forever, because the fighters were courageous, they were skilled, it was amazing, and that's why you love pro sports, right? You love pro sports because it's real, and so...
Well, and I think you're seeing the best of the best do it.
That's right.
Like, so that, I think that's the thing.
What Jake Paul needs for himself and for his own personal growth and for his own dignity, and in order to stave off some of the self-loathing that I'm sure he feels in his quiet moments, despite all the money and all the engagement, he needs to take a real beating, and he needs to fight a real fight, even if it looks bad. Like, and maybe do it off television. Maybe do it in a club in Tijuana, you know.
Sure.
Fight a real four rounder against a real dog. And, you know, he in life, you need to start doing some things that are hard for yourself. You do things for your family. You sacrifice for your family. You take the extra job. You get up, you know, the extra hours early in the morning to go to the extra job. And that's what people respect. And, you know, I think respect is the ethereal, you know, ingredient for him that he's not been able to pin down. And in that, it's kind of fascinating.
Well, I think that's what happens when you give a really young guy a bunch of money very early on, and he doesn't have the discernment of, you know, with what to do with it. Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah, you're going to create a life of luxury where you don't need anything and don't need to work hard. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, I feel like, you know, if I was given Jake Paul money today, yeah, there would be some things in my life that I would definitely make easier.
Sure.
But I've learned how to work, and I need to work. I know me that if I don't have something to keep me busy, it's not going to go well.
Yeah. Right? We're going to fall into sin. Right. We were made to work.
Exactly. Yeah. So I might be golfing a whole lot more, but I'm not quitting. I'm still working, right?
Yeah. And
I
just, of course.
I think when you give that opportunity to a younger person, and it's not across the board. I know that there's a lot of young folks out there that are very studious. I know that. So it's not it's not across the board. Judgment, but I do think that plays into it.
Yeah.
Is I think he was given a lot very early.
Yeah.
And you're seeing the result of what happens when you. Like, it's you start to build something that isn't really real.
Yes.
You know, and mm-hmm. he can't help it because yeah. his career was yeah. built on content, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
my question to you, so you have, okay, so you have like, I picture like this Jake Paul stuff as kind of like the carnival tent that you're hearing mm-hmm. the noise and seeing the lights, right?
Yeah.
Outside of town. In yeah. town is the real boxing that you and I both know and love very well,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But like it or not, the carnival tent fills seats.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? It's attractive. People, mm-hmm. you might be in town, but you catch yourself looking like, oh, I wonder what's going on over there, right? Because you yeah. can't help yeah. it, right?
Yeah.
What's the fix? Mm. What's, if we, like, what is the fix to this, like, Jake Paul-esque, like, is it just that it stops? Is it yeah. that it changes? Do we find a way to merge it? Like, what, in your opinion, how do we fix last night?
Yeah, great question. So I think my wife had the answer to this because she was in the kitchen listening to Lance and I complain all night about it. And finally she was like, you need to stop voting with your dollars and your eyeballs. Like, you need to not watch the next Jake Paul fight. And I was like, you're absolutely right. You know, that is the answer.
Yeah.
And if we all do that, then it will go away. And I think what we most want is for it to go away. Now, here's the weird thing in the content age, Josh, okay? So if I'm some soulless executive at Netflix and my only job is to make money and draw engagement, and let's say in this scenario, I don't know the Lord and I don't have any particular convictions about anything, right?
Sure.
I'm just a programming executive.
Yeah, you're in for the money.
Yeah. So if I'm that person, I may say, I don't know, Jake Paul could fight an alligator. You know, he could fight like sure. a silverback sure. gorilla or whatever, and we'll put it on TV and it'll draw, you know, X number of eyeballs. So we're going to do that, right? Now, another way to look at it, and I think this would be the more strategic way if I'm Netflix, another way to look at it would be to say, we're looking to get into live sports, and Netflix is doing, they're doing two NFL games over Christmas. So they're kicking the tires on this live sports thing.
Interesting.
So
yeah. okay.
If I'm a Netflix exec and I'm going, we're looking to get into live sports, this is not the way to do it. Because it didn't look, Josh, it didn't look like a fight card should look.
Yeah.
And for a blueprint of what a 2025 like real pay-per-view fight card should look like, you know, look to the Saudis. They make it look awesome. The arena looks awesome.
Yeah.
The ring looks awesome.
Like it or not, they're killing it.
They're killing it. And I tell you, I tip my hat to Matchroom and the Brits too, because, you know, those fights at, you know, Wembley Arena or O2 Arena or whatever sure. in London, those look awesome yeah. too. They look yeah. great. They're good fights. They're good cards. That's what a pay-per-view fight night should look like.
Yeah.
And last night's thing looked like to your point, a sideshow. It looked like a circus tent. It was
bad.
Well,
yeah. I mean, it looked like it was like Willy Wonka's candy factory. And it's just,
you got to do better with the undercard, right? I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Tyron Woodley and Anderson Silva.
I mean, what in the world,
it's bad,
man?
Yeah.
It just wasn't good, you know?
Right.
Like, and that's the thing is, like, I feel like even in the undercards, they're like, can we, you know, what numbers can we pull for the undercards instead of, you know, let's bring in some like hungry fighters that actually want to, yeah. you know, yeah. actually want a platform and do something. Right.
And I think from the top down, you're seeing there's an artfulness to this. And like, if you work for Top Rank, which is another promoter, like they have somebody on their staff who's a matchmaker. Like, it's his job to make these fights and to make good fights. And you know, kind of Jake Paul getting off his couch and doing this, like, it looks easy until you try to do it. And then when you try to do it, last night happens, and it's just a disaster from the top down.
So, okay. So I think we've beaten that horse to death. I wanted to talk to you while we to have a couple minutes left here.
Yeah.
On the aesthetic of the entire thing, right?
Sure.
Is it just me,
mm-hmm.
or has the like time in between fights gotten longer?
Oh my gosh, it was interminable. It was so long.
I felt like it was so long last night. Like the walkouts, I don't remember walkouts taking that long.
Yeah, no, I know. It's bad. And yeah, the time between the fights, the ring walks themselves, all the putzing around in the ring before the fight starts. Again, dude, and this is in the eye of the beholder, right? And to your point, it's an aesthetic
for sure.
preference. But like, there's a way to do this well. And if you're a promoter, if you're a good promoter, you keep the fights coming, you keep the time in between the fights pretty short. If I'm a promoter, I keep the ring walks as like uncircusy as possible. I know that's part of the, you know, it's part of the modern aspect of the sport, and I need to not be a boomer about it, but still, you know,
yeah.
there's a way to do this well, and in almost every aspect, it wasn't done well last night. So to my earlier point, if I'm Netflix, I'm not proud of having put that on television. Right.
Sure.
Even if it pulls a tremendous rating, I'm not
sure.
proud of it. I'm not telling my kids like, hey, this is what I did at work today. I put Jake Paul, Anthony Joshua on TV, you know.
That's the thing with the content game, Ted, is you don't like being proud of the output has nothing to do with it. It's did it do numbers?
Dude, you're so right.
And that's the problem, right?
That and maybe that's what makes me like a boomer. Like I have to be proud of my work at some level.
No, it's not makes you a boomer. It just makes you, I think it's just, that's the correct way to view a product that you put out.
Yeah.
I don't think that has anything to do with generation. I think it has to do with mentality, right?
It's so awesome that, like my kid's doing auto body now. He's in trade school.
Yeah,
and he's
cool.
starting to like, I don't know, sand his own car and like paint certain parts of it. And like,
sweet, dude.
It's awesome. And when he does it well, I can see the sense of pride he has. Like he feels like a champ. And I'm like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
This is not content, right? He's doing it for himself. He's doing it to learn. But when he does it well, I'm so proud of him. And it's so exciting to see like a man subdue, you know, his world in that way and make something better and take something old and make it look functional and new and good again. And like at a deep level, that's what we want as men, dude. And offered none of that.
No, it didn't. It didn't. I think we do have an innate desire to be proud of the things that we put out.
That's it.
Right?
That's it.
And I think content creation in and of itself actually fights against that because it takes the barometer of validity.
Yes.
And it places it not on the quality of the product or the output, but whether or not it did numbers and gave money.
That's
which
right.
is a horrible barometer because you can do absolute, like, zero talent crap. Put it on the internet and it will do numbers.
Yeah.
Right? But, like, are you proud of that? Is that
right.
something, like, is that something that, like, you know, when you're 80 years old, you want your you want to show your grand, look what I did when I was your age, right?
That's right.
I danced in a toilet and it did, you know, 2 million views on TikTok. Like,
I know,
it's just that I'm so much more interested in quality of work than quantity of it. Right.
Sure.
I just put out a cover of a Christmas song that I have loved since I was a kid. It's my mom's favorite Christmas song.
Mm-hmm.
I spent days and days and days working on that cover to make sure that every note was exactly where I needed because I don't use autotune. I hate autotune.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure if I can't do it, I'm not going to put it out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of the product. I put it out there, and actually the original artist reached out and said he was really impressed and he loved it.
Aww, that's
dude,
great.
To me, it was huge.
Yeah. Because
he was a pretty big-time Christian artist in the 80s and 90s.
Uh-huh.
And he reached out and said, like, that was really well done.
That's awesome.
And that, to me, was worth so much more
than
it getting a crap ton of views.
Yeah.
Was that the original artist reached out and said, hey, that was a well-done cover. I'm actually very impressed.
Yeah.
And there's something different there, man. And it's
there is.
I think when you do content for content's sake, you're never going to feel that sense of accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just the head game that Paul is in. Mm-hmm. And when you're in that head game, man, yeah. like there's not much, it, like it's hard to get out.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. Well said, man. Well said. Well, we've got a Patreon to do, Joshua.
We've got more content to do. We do have more content to do. Yes, of which we are proud of.
Well, to that point, last thing, like, I don't know. When I come to the end of my life and like I'm telling my grandkids what I did or whatever, I probably won't start with this. But like, I'm not ashamed of the podcast that we do and. No. They live on a different organ than the books, right? The like book work and for you pastoring and for me teaching, like those are professions, you know. Right. I would say this is a semi profession. You know, we make some money on it, but it's not as kind of carefully crafted as the book or the classroom experience or whatever. But I am, I guess, proud of it, you know, but I'm probably prouder of the fact that I don't know, I went to work for UPS when my family needed the money or whatever. Like but this lives on a different organ. And I've made this point before. This isn't like eating 64 hot dogs on camera, right? It's better than that. It's more thoughtful than that.
Yeah.
And you know, I, because of that, I can feel good about it, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, there's degrees of significance for the projects that you do, right?
That's right.
It doesn't mean that you can't be proud of them. It just means that you understand the importance and the place that they have, right?
That's right.
And I think that's a really healthy thing. Like we got to realize like, yeah, this is fun. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of the product. We don't put out a crap product. But at the end of the day, mm-hmm. I have so many more things in my life that are more important than this podcast.
Of course, yeah.
You know
what
I mean? My life is not determined on the success or the numbers that Cluck Podcast does. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's I think you can have both.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But we're not click farming. We're not.
That's
like,
right.
You and I are. These are the discussions. Like if we were in the same church, these are the discussions you and I would have anyway. Right.
Exactly.
We just happen to throw some mics up and some people like to listen, which is really cool.
It
That's
is
awesome.
Really cool. Yeah. Indeed.
And in that sense, yeah, it's worth being proud of. But it's also you put it in its place.
Mm-hmm.
You realize like it's not like it doesn't define me.
That's right.
But it's a thing that we put out and it's fun. And I'm going to do it until it's not fun. You know what I'm saying? So,
yep.
Yeah. So, all right. We're going to go over and do some patrons because that is fun. And I want to, I have a question for you about football announcing. I want to talk about that. So,
Ladies
and gentlemen, we do thank you for listening to this product. Hopefully, this very professional, curated product that you can be proud of being a listener of. Right. Hopefully you feel better listening to this episode than you did actually watching the Jake Paul fight last night.
It wouldn't take much.
Would not take much. And if you do appreciate the podcast and you want to show your support, you want to show your appreciation, you can click the links in the description of this episode. There's some Cluck merch. You can get some hats, some beanies, headbands and beanies. You can support the podcast on Patreon. We do have a Patreon. It's $5 a month. That's all it is. We like to keep it cheap. And you get this episode. You get the video version of this episode. You get it early, as well as a bonus episode every single week unless Ted and I, for some reason, cannot record that week, which, you know, happens. But we do our best. We do our best. All that can be yours for a $5 holla. $5 is all it is. Less than a Starbucks drink a month. And we would appreciate if you head on over there and join the patron. That would be really, really cool. So we thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next episode of Cluck. Later.